Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, a program that values the potential of knowledge, collaboration, and growth. The show is hosted by Denise Griffiths, who is known as an intensely curious nerd in stilettos. Each Wednesday, she is joined by co-host Ben Gay III, a renowned figure in the sales world. Ben is recognized for introducing The Closers, one of the most popular and powerful sales training materials ever produced. Having been mentored by Dr. Napoleon Hill himself, Ben has gained a wealth of knowledge in sales and life. Throughout the show, Denise and Ben delve into the world of sales, entrepreneurship, and success, exploring Ben's vast experience from guiding and mentoring countless professionals to achieve unparalleled success in their careers. Together, they offer unmatched guidance to listeners seeking success in their professional endeavors.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Closers Inner Circle podcast, hosted by Denise Griffiths and Ben Gay III on Your Partner in Success Radio. Now, Ben joins me each Wednesday for the Closers Inner Circle podcast as my co-host, and this is where we discuss sales mastery and, honestly, anything else that crosses our minds as we chat and study Ben's famous sales books, The Closers. And today the question is, what is echo salesmanship? Sales legend Ben Gay III, I love to say that because you are a legend, Ben, explains on the Closers Inner Circle podcast. Again, why am I repeating this? I guess because it's important to me. But we're opening up the Closers Part 2, page 135, to the Grand Canyon response, which begs the question, what is echo salesmanship? So here's my response to that. And he can correct me if he needs to. An echo salesmanship response involves mirroring or repeating keywords or phrases that the potential customer has used during a sales conversation. It's a technique aimed at building rapport and making the customer feel heard and understood. And by echoing their words, you are showing that you're actively listening and that you comprehend their needs and their concerns. For an example, if a customer says, I'm looking for a reliable and efficient solution, let's say for a website, an echo salesmanship response could be, so you're really focused on finding a solution that's not only reliable, but it is also highly efficient and it works for you. Is that correct? And this repetition helps reinforce the customer's priorities and can create a more engaging and personalized interaction. The key, according to the book, is to use this technique naturally and not make it seem forced or robotic. It's about demonstrating empathy, and that's an important word. We use it a lot here. It's about demonstrating empathy and building a connection by reflecting the customer's language and sentiments. And according to Ben, mastering this sales technique can be daunting, but it is very helpful during the sales process for you and the customer or prospect. Good morning, Ben. It's Wednesday. I missed having you here last week.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. As will become evident while we're talking, I've been fighting a little COVID thing. I'm now on day 15. Getting better by the minute, but the throat and a little coughing seems to be the last to go. And anyone who's had COVID, you understand what I've been through, and you have my sympathy and empathy. I'll tell you, it is something. I don't get sick. I get a flu shot every year, but I don't think I've ever had the flu since I was a 10-year-old boy or something. And I don't get colds. I have a little constant hay fever, but I was born with that and I've adapted. And but this COVID thing is an attention getter. Zero energy, and I mean zero. Spent the better part of 2 weeks, 10 days anyway, in bed or wishing I was there. And then the coughing and the wheezing and so on. And I told you, I promised you a few days ago I'd be ready to go. So I'm going to go no matter what, but I apologize in advance for any throat clearing you hear or where the phone goes mute for a minute while I'm coughing. But by and large, the worst is behind us. And gee, I'm talking about me. Gigi had it too.
Oh, no.
So the trick I've discovered is you should never both be seriously ill at the same time, because we each depend on the other one to, do things for us. And the truth is, you're lying in bed, and I thought to myself, I probably ought to ask her if she needs anything, but I'm afraid she does. And I don't want to hear it.
You know, she hears this podcast, just so you know.
Yeah, I'll pay for it.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize that she had been ill too, but I knew you had been. And I'm like you, I don't get sick. I never get sick. I haven't had cold or flu in, oh geez, a decade or better. But I just don't get sick. Now, saying that, I'm knocking on wood, I'm knocking on the top of my head. The last time I got ill, it was two Thanksgivings ago, and I woke up two or three days before Thanksgiving. My arm hurt so bad that I was honestly laying in bed wondering, I wonder if I can cut it off and not notice it. I mean, it hurt that bad. I was ready to amputate.
Yeah, how much do I use it, really?
Yeah, and I'm ambidextrous, but this is my left arm. I think I can manage. I mean, I was really having a talk with myself.
Why was your arm hurting? I don't understand it.
I didn't understand either, and I don't have a doctor. I don't go to the doctors. I'm healthy. And I finally did what I always do, and then couple nights later, I turned it over to my subconscious for review just as I was going to sleep. And I said, listen, I don't know what this is. And I guess I'm going to have to go to the doctor, but I don't even know what to ask about. 3:18 in the morning, I always get an answer, and it said shingles. I went, shit.
Oh, no.
Language. And it was shingles, and it was, oh my God, awful. That's some of the worst pain I have ever been in my life.
I had shingles 30 years ago, I'm guessing, and horrible. I didn't even know what it was. I had a little rash.
Either.
And then I started having, it felt like lightning storms inside my chest, and got through it. I forget whether I went to the doctor or not, but I remember being in immense pain, thinking, what is this, and got through it. And then just a couple, 3 years ago, I got a little rash on my forehead. And I felt a pain, and I thought, it's different, but I've felt this before.
Right.
So I went to the doctors. He said, you have shingles, and we need to stop it before it gets to your eye.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, good idea. Let's do that. And so I got the shingles shot, which supposedly is supposed to last you forever. But I got that. The shot was interesting. Shots don't normally bother me, but that really made me sore for a few days. But the shingles, again, is nothing to be messed with. And especially if you don't know what's happening to you.
And I didn't. And it just popped, this thought bubble popped into my head at 3:18, and I went, shingles. And my immediate argument was, I thought that was eradicated. Well, I was thinking of scurvy, so I didn't have scurvy. But I hauled my fanny to the nearest walk-in clinic, and of course, it was all over my arm. The blisters had popped up by then, and I could feel them growing. They were everywhere. They were on the left side of my back. They were on the left side of my chest. They were on my arm. And I just threw on the biggest, loosest shirt I could find and drove myself to the clinic, and she said, well, what do you think's going on? And I just raised my shirt. She said, oh, shingles. I went, yep. Yeah. And off we went. But that's the most, I have never felt that kind of pain. And this was a couple years ago, and I still have residual pain in my arm that I know is nerve damage from it. So don't,
there's that commercial on
if
television.
You're listening to us, don't get shingles.
Yeah, don't get shingles. I don't know how you don't get shingles, but don't. That commercial on television says if you're over 50, 95% of us have the shingles thing in us. I guess it's chicken pox.
And I had chicken pox when I was a kid. Yeah. So
it was an attention getter. And I don't know how to avoid it, but other than get that shot. But the television commercial I love, it says, you say you've had chicken pox, says shingles doesn't care. And it repeats that phrase several times over. Shingles doesn't care.
It doesn't. You should have seen me trying to lift up a 20-pound turkey with an arm that was pretty much useless and a very sore chest. And you can imagine what part of the chest was so sore. It was Interesting. I had my friends going, Denise, you need help? Well, yes, I do. Get over and lift everything for me. But I'm so glad that you're over the or getting over COVID. I've been blessed. It's never touched me, but I haven't had a cold or flu in a long, long time. Again, I'm knocking on my head, knocking on wood.
Well, I can only guess that somebody somewhere on an airplane, maybe in a restaurant, had it, and I came down with it. And Gigi got it a day later, so I'm assuming she got it from me, or we got it at the same time in the same
Right.
place. I
Right.
really don't know, but it's an attention getter.
It is. And I mean, I'm glad that you're feeling better, and I'm glad that it wasn't worse for you. So now that we're through complaining about our health history,
Whining.
why? No, we're commenting because we don't want people to feel as bad as we have felt over different things over the time. We're being helpful. But let's talk about the closers and what is, I mean, it's called the Grand Canyon response. And I read this a couple of times because I thought, do I? And I'll get you to explain it, but do I do this? And I don't think I do. Or if I do, I probably don't do it well. So do you want me to read from the book? Because I know your voice is still,
Sure, go
giving
ahead.
out a
It's a
bit.
very short chapter, as you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We are on one page 35 of the closers part two. And as I mentioned, it's called the Grand Canyon Response. And it starts out an old sales pro in North Carolina and a good friend of many of our staff is known as Mr. Echo. His favorite response to a tough question is what he calls his Grand Canyon Response. I wondered where that came from. We have all heard salespeople use this basic technique to one degree or another, but he is the grandmaster of Echo salesmanship. And to understand how this technique, rather, got its name. Picture your pot prospect standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon. He yells, "Your price is too high." And without fail, the Grand Canyon responds, "Your price is too high." It's an echo. The prospect yells, "Your delivery is too slow." And the Grand Canyon responds, "Your delivery is too slow." And it works every time. What do you mean by that? It works every time.
Well, it works every time because the prospect is forced, if you have the courage to be quiet. J. Douglas Edwards taught us when you ask a closing question, shut up. And he used to say, the next person who speaks loses. That's a bit harsh, but I understand his point. With the echo concept, they say, your price is too high. You simply say, my price is too high.
Oh, you're
And
turning it into a question.
yeah, turn a statement into a question and then shut up. They will explain that your price may or may not be too high, probably not, but he's been to prospect school and he feels you're about to, he or she feels you're about to close the sale. So it's time to start putting up token resistance. Your price is too high. I've got to think about it. I got to talk to my brother-in-law in Cleveland.
Or my wife. That's how it, the minute you said, I need to talk to my wife, just hang up. It's over.
So, anyway, by just repeating it and being quiet, you make them explain the situation, which may be something stupid they just threw out because you're supposed to put up some objection, or it might be a serious concern. Your price is too high. There's a couple of ways to go with that. Three, actually. Your price really is too high, in which case you better figure out how to explain it in advance and why they should pay the higher price. Your price is too high, it's out of their budget, is one, and you might have to work with them and give them payments or whatever. And the third one is your price is too high, which is Latin for I don't have the money.
Right.
And that's not an objection, that's a condition. And we can go into a separate thing sometime about sufficiently inspired. Just about anybody can raise just about any amount of money. But for the moment, let's just leave it there. They don't have the money. That's a condition. You should have qualified that in advance had you been given an opportunity to do so. But nevertheless, there it is in front of you. But at least we've saved 35 minutes of chatting. and them throwing up one ping pong ball after another, and you batting it like a whack-a-mole game. And you get down, the trick is to get down to the real objection, concern, or question. The most deadly thing in selling, if you learn how to get around it, is I got to think it over. And because there's not a specific objection and there's nothing to combat it with. There is, but strictly speaking, I want to think it over is a killer if you don't know how to overcome that. So by repeating it back as a question instead of a statement, you put the ball back in their court and make them explain it. If it's a stupid position they've taken, which is probably about a 50-50 shot, they will be troubled and embarrassed to try and explain. It's like being caught with your hand in the cookie jar. So you force them to explain what they mean. And if they don't mean anything, it's pretty easy to work your way around it and go forward. If they really do mean something, I don't have the money, we don't have the money in our budget this quarter or this month or whatever, then those are all doable situations. But I would always, and people say, what if you drive them and they say no? I would always rather have a definite no than a wishy-washy maybe, or I want to think it over. The maybes and I want to think it over will drive you out of selling. You must have the courage to press forward and get an answer or smoke out the real objection. And the easiest way is what we just discussed, the echo close. Now, the problem with the echo close is most salespeople can't stand silence. So if they repeat it back, my price is too high, and just stare at them, the silence will get them and they'll jump in and cut the price or say something inane or whatever, versus let it hang. Just sit there and stare. Doug Edwards, when he was teaching, when you ask a closing question, shut up, said that one time he was in a situation, he gave the company, I think it was Ford Motor Company or something. He said, I ask a closing question and I shut up, and he shut up. And then he said, I'm quoting from memory, but I think this is right. It's in a book I wrote for him called Sales Closing Power. I believe he said, by my watch, there wasn't a sound in that room for 22 minutes. As we waited for him to respond to my closing question. And he said at 22 minutes, he spoke and he bought. And if he wasn't already sold on the concept, that did it. Well, the echo close has the same built-in problem for the salespeople in that it requires you sometimes to sit there quietly for an uncomfortable length of time. It's his or her turn to talk. Let them have their turn. Because the answer will help you. It'll either give you, it's in my favorite close, which I've talked about in Sales Infiltration, the last chapter in the Closers Part 2. Where I say my favorite close boils down to, Mr. Prospect, based on what we've discussed, here's what I suggest we do, or based on what you've told me, here's what I suggest we do. Fair enough, and fair enough is one of those where you sit. Most people respond rather quickly, but if they don't, you've asked a question. Is that fair enough? Sit there and wait for the answer. The answer will probably be a yes if you've given a good sales presentation. Might be a no, in which case you question further and figure out what you've got to overcome. Or it might be a question to smoke out their real objection. Well, the echo close has that built in from the beginning. My price is too high. Dead silence. It's their time to explain why your price is too high. And again, they don't have the money. You didn't qualify them properly. Or your price is too high. And we've been in those situations. But that goes back to people say, what's the first secret of selling? I say, pick a quality product that's competitively priced so you don't spend your days explaining away improper pricing. and then spend your days talking to qualified people. That my closing rate runs about 86%, has for years in a one-on-one situation, not in front of big crowds, although I've had higher rates there and lower rates. But it runs about 86% because I've stacked the deck. I only sell quality products and services that are competitively priced. And I spend my days talking to qualified prospects. That raises the bar considerably. If you had cancer, and I, God forbid, and I was selling a cancer cure drug, I've got you. I mean, you know you want the cancer cured. You don't want to die. And I have the cure. Here's the bottle. It's X number of dollars. You've been properly qualified. It's competitively priced. The market usually takes care of that. Rarely do I see something that's totally out of whack with what similar products and services are selling for. So the marketplace, supply and demand, usually handles that. All you then have to do is develop a method of presenting it, an effective script that puts your product in the very best light, and then have the nerve to ask for the order. And when you do, shut up, whether it's fair enough or my price is too high or whatever. But all of them zero back down to the courage to do it. I've seen so many salespeople right on the brink of success and lose the sale because they felt the need to fill in the silence by babbling something else that distracts the prospect from the decision they were almost forced to make.
Well, and you know what I've noticed, Ben, and I think you and I have talked about this. When you let people talk, when you just sit back, and I use my mute button a lot. I really do. It's one of my favorite things about my computer. When I sit back and I let whoever it is that maybe they want a website, maybe they need me to be a consultant, whatever it is that they're asking me of, and I'll explain what the process is, but I don't overwhelm them because people are not going to remember most of the stuff you said anyway.
Right.
But when it's time for me to shut up and I hit that mute button, I'm doing it. And maybe I knew this from reading your book or, you know, talking with you all these years, but I have found that when you let people talk, just let them go. It gives them the space to either explore what they're worried about or concerned about or what they really, really want or what they don't want. But you have to get out of the way. You have to get out of your own way.
Yep. There's a few things I like in the world better than the sound of a prospect talking to me, because they're usually telling me what they need, how they need it, the way they want to pay for it, etc. If I just remember to shut up and let them talk.
Right. And they're not going to do that. They're not going to share all this with you if you're just saying, oh, well, and Mr. So-and-so, and what about this? And then you're just badgering them. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that.
Exactly. And when the silence has worked on them and they have some questions, you're winning. The ball is back in your court. And just make sure that every answer you give has a little trial close built in it. Fair enough is a great one. You know, the price is so-and-so. Well, let me tell you what's different about our price and somebody else's price. And one of the ones I use all the time is, what's different is you get me. On the back of my business card, you'll notice I have written my personal cell phone. So you don't call customer service and the manufacturer and this and that when you have a problem. I hope you never do, but if you do, you call me and I'll take care of it. So there's one thing that no one who's calling on you can offer, Ben Gay. And I will be here for you. I'll get everything handled, et cetera. And if I can't do it, I'll tell you right up front. I'm not going to ever leave you hanging. Every conversation we ever have will be complete, a unit all by itself, had a beginning, a middle, and an end, and then we'll go on from there.
Right. Well, when you get to the end of this chapter, and it's just kind of a recap of what you're talking about. You said those who have been honored to go out on sales calls with Mr. Echo, I love that name, will tell you that it can be an unnerving experience. If you aren't used to his particular approach, you'd feel like saying, but he just said that, or can't you hear him? He said it was price to price, answer him. And I can feel our audience going, well, yeah, they're just jumping up and down going, I can see it, I can hear it. But Mr. Echo would not be deterred. He says that most people don't really mean what they say when they voice objections. And I have found that out many times. I'll catch myself saying, I don't think so. And I don't really mean it. You know, it's almost expected sometimes. Or sometimes I really do mean it and my voice changes and then they know. But, you know, a lot of times, maybe it's a Southern thing, Ben. I don't know. But I really do. And you do as well. We want to hear how we can help people, how we can we sell them something? We hope so. But if we can't, maybe we're not the right person. Maybe we have to refer them somewhere else. But we really do exist in our salesmanship, you and me, to be of assistance to other people. And I think that's where a lot of it gets lost.
And speaking of being of assistance to other people, and you mentioned it a few moments ago, is your website service. As I understand it, you have room for a few new clients. And
three. Taking three for the rest of the year.
Yeah. I just want to encourage people, if your website needs doing, built from the ground up, or refreshing, or what have you, there's no one in the business better than Denise Griffiths. And I would suggest you reach out to her and just get the details. And let her look at your website and see where you are to start out. I assume they should go to denisegriffiths.com to start. Is that correct?
They can, but really the best place to go is yourofficeontheweb.com. That's my digital agency.
Okay. Yourofficeontheweb.com. And so reach out to Denise and find out how to improve your website. She is a master at it. I've talked to people whose websites she has done. I'm probably going to ask her to refresh ours. And if I do, it'll be Denise only. I wouldn't even think about going to anybody else. I've been behind the magic table. I've seen how she works. I see how she can make guarantees and promises other people can't. And that she will stay with you until it's working exactly like you both had hoped. So reach out to her and ask her about website design or development or refreshing, and send her your website. I would advise you send that in the very first contact with her. It'll save you both a lot of time when she sees what she's working with. But oh, yeah. She's the best.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Ben. I just finished up the last website that was on my board and I went, huh, well, we're in the last quarter of the year. What can I do? I can do a website a month. I can do one each, you know, and help you get launched for 2024. And honestly, I'm a nerd. I'm a nerd in stilettos. You know, I build websites in my sleep. I build them when I'm cooking over the stove. I can see it in my head. Don't ask me about algebra. I almost failed. What did you tell me earlier that at the year five, when you were in the fifth grade, that's when you found out that you were what now?
I became I was a straight A student or whatever you get in those early grades, and everybody loved me. And my parents were frequently told, we wish we could raise our son be like yours. And then we got into fifth grade. Fannie Mae Parks, who was later, before the year was over, taken away by trained medical people to take her to a facility. She had a breakdown. And part of that breakdown was due to trying to teach me and four or five other hellraisers basic algebra. So I went from being this model kid to what was called on a report card a disciplinary problem because of algebra. It wasn't algebra that made me go nuts. It was my frustration with my inability to learn algebra. Of all the things I took in school, there were two things that I despised, never saw any use for, and fought tooth and nail. They were algebra and Latin.
Oh, listen, I had a 4.0 until I hit algebra, and I couldn't grasp it. You know, I have a scientific brain, apparently. Who knew? I have a computer science degree. Again, who knew? I never saw that coming. Algebra just was not going to play nice with my brain. And I remember the instructor saying, Denise, you're one of the brightest people in here. Why don't you understand this? I slammed my book on the table and I stood up. I said, because it's a bunch of made up baloney that some guy who couldn't get laid made up because he couldn't get eight. I got sent to the principal's office.
No.
I sure did. And three other people went with me. And that's why I love your story, because three other people were having the same issues. He wasn't a bad instructor. We just didn't see the need for it. We didn't want to do it. We're all adults. It's like, we don't need this stuff. I went back to college late. And, you know, these other people stood up and said, where she's going, we're going. And they put us for this particular class. They put us in a boiler room pretty much and had another instructor come in and try to teach us, you know, why our views were wrong. I think they passed me. I was a trouble. I mean, they just said, don't bring her back. Pass her. Give her whatever it takes to get her out. Don't bring her back here because I don't have any filters.
That's how I got to the sixth grade. The fifth grade was tired of seeing me.
Yeah, exactly.
And it pretty much went like that from then on. But algebra literally was my downfall. Everything was going fine, and all of a sudden they were speaking in a foreign tongue and didn't do a good job of explaining why I might need that. Later on, one of my kids was told, who said to a teacher, well, I have a calculator. I said, well, you won't always have a calculator in your pocket. Well, little did she know.
I know.
That he would
Everybody
have.
Does. And I've never used it. That's, oh, you're going to need it for coding. You're going to need it for that. No, I won't. And I was able to take every argument and say, no, prove it to me. They were so happy to see me go. I mean, this poor guy, when he would see me in the hallways, he would just kind of go, bleh, and go in another direction. But yeah, I was a disciplinary problem as well, and I'm proud of it. But you know, the thing is, once we learn where we're going back to web development, I do love building those things. So if anybody needs one between now and the end of the year, and you're made, you know, you want to do something new, or, you know, clean up your old one, call me 888-719-6711. It's toll free. I'll respond to you right away. So Ben, let's go back to the closers, because I've had these books in my entrepreneurial library for years. You sent them to me a number of years ago. And one of them, the closers part two, is getting fairly dog-eared, but that's okay. Whenever I think I was telling you this before, I can take it off the shelf. I don't even stand it up anymore, lay it down on its back, because I'm afraid it'll just, you know, like an old fan where it just kind of opens up by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. And I'll just take it and I'll plunk it down on my desk, and it opens up to pretty much where I want it to open up. It's like it knows. It's scary. But I've been in this book so many times. But tell us about the closers. Why? I mean, this book, these are older books. You've been doing this for a long, long time. But there's nothing in here that doesn't pertain, probably even more importantly, to now than it did when you wrote them.
Well, selling, people always tell me, you know, that's old school selling, or not with the closers necessarily, but I hear that term tossed around a lot, which is code for, I don't want to learn how to sell. So I'll say everything I hear is old school selling. Selling hasn't changed since the days of the sailboats with silk from India on them. It hasn't changed since the Yankee peddler was riding around New England on horseback or muleback with his or her samples, his, I guess, in those days. What people want to know clearly and concisely, it's what's in it for me, and should I take action now? So I've been offered the opportunity to rewrite the closers several times, and I've always turned it down, other than the original rewriting. It was in horrible form when I first found what we now call the Closers Part One. But it was, I knew I had found the secret code to explaining it to other people. I took off in selling like a duck to water, and rather quickly was winning contests and making a lot of money and doing well. I was raised in a sales family. To me, that was just natural. I'm not sure anyone ever asked me, but if they had, when you grow up, what are you going to be? I probably would have said a salesperson like my father and my aunts and my uncles and everybody else I knew. So it was natural, but I had a difficult time explaining to other people what I was doing. The greatest salesman I ever worked with personally was Jimmy Rucker. He was my running buddy in high school and what little college I went to. And as good, if not better, a closer than I was. He was my first business partner. He was just incredible. But he was the world's worst sales trainer, especially in the early days. He got better later. But people say, Jimmy, how do you do it? What do you do? He said, well, just watch me and do what I do. Well, that's like a great jockey saying, well, just watch the way I ride horses, you know, and do that. Easier said than done. So one day I was sitting in my office and a guy knocked on the door and I buzzed him in. And it turned out he was the heating cooling guy. And I was sitting there rewriting the Closers Part One and writing the Closers Part Two and on legal pads. And he said, I'm here to check your filtration system. And I said, what? He said, I'm here to check your filtration system. I said, you're going to have to come back another day. I'm really sorry, but you just given me a great idea. And I walked him to the door, locked it behind him, sat down and wrote, clarified what was in Part One, and wrote the last chapter of Closers Part Two, Sales Infiltration. He had just in one word given me the secret that Zig Ziglar and Og Mandino and Earl Nightingale and Dr. Hill, all the greats that I worked with over the years or worked for me, and Jimmy Rucker had been using. They infiltrate the defenses of the other person, of the prospect. They get inside the family. They become part of the company they're selling. You start hearing we instead of you and me and so on. The way I picture it in my mind is in most selling situations, there's team A, let's call that the salesperson, and team B, the defensive team, the team who's been trained to resist team A. Before I even get started, my first sale is making sure they understand that there's no A and B anymore. There's now a team C, a blend of A and B designed with a goal of solving a mutually agreed upon problem. They have the power of the pocketbook. I have the power of knowledge. As I tell prospects frequently, you're probably a whole lot smarter than I am in a whole lot of areas. But in this one little area, the product or service we're talking about, I'm the resident expert. And so together, I can give you the information we need to make a great decision for the team. Which leads up to the close I referred to earlier. Based on what we've discussed, Mr. Prospect, here's what I suggest we do. Fair enough. And that close has closed more sales for me and millions of other people around the world than I think any other close on earth. There are other famous closes, you know, the alternate choice close and the this close and the that close. But basically, it comes down to you either have the courage to ask for the order or not. I've done work while I'll use their name, Kirby Vacuum Cleaner. They have a saying, they used to have one. I don't think they use it anymore, but no sale is complete until you have payment in your hand or the police have been called.
Well, I've heard you say that before, and I crack up every single time.
Well, I'm a Southern gentleman, Denise, if you ask me to get out of your house or office, I'm gone. So my goal has always been for you not to ask me to get out of your home or
And
office.
don't call the police. I'm out of here.
And the way I do that is I sell quality products that are competitively priced, spend my time talking to qualified people, and I have a firm understanding. I coined a phrase many years ago, and I've since added a little bit to it 5 or 6 years ago. It is that people buy from people they know, like, trust, dot, 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 and with whom they feel safe. So that's the focus of any sale that I attempt to make. First, I got the right product and the right service at the right price, and I sell me, Bengay III, long before I sell the product, so that when I put my stamp of approval on it, it's not unlike the good housekeeping seal of approval. You don't, Mr. Prospect, you don't have to understand all the stuff I know about this, but you do need to understand that I endorse it, recommend it, stand by it, and personally guarantee it. And that just knocks down so many, and not to the prospect, but between you and me and our listeners, and I've learned the ability to endure silence. I don't think I've ever sat in anybody's office for 22 minutes, as J. Douglas Edwards claimed to have, but I've sat for long, what seemed like 22 minutes, seemed like 22 hours sometimes. There's a question in the air. I've asked you. It's your turn to answer.
Right.
And
if you think that's difficult, it is.
And if you think I'm feeling pressure as the salesperson, imagine the person who knows it's their turn to talk. And minutes have gone by. Their pressure is far worse than ours. But you can endure all that if you're selling quality products and services and understand that you're working for the customer's good. In other words, you will be better off if you say yes to my offer.
Exactly. And when you say, you know, the pressure to me, and I'm reading that or I'm going to explain it a little bit differently, because I do this. I've always done it instinctively, I guess. But, you know, they'll ask me a question. They'll ask me what the, you know, what's the process? Is it WordPress? Is the, and we get to kind of the nuts and bolts of it. And I'm often, because I'm consulting at that point, I'm not selling anything yet, but I am consulting. And I find that if you just kind of like your guy did with the, he was there to change the filtration system. You have to let them work it through in their own brain. People don't know what it is that they're objecting to until they start hearing themselves talk.
Right.
They really don't. And if you can say, well, yeah, I understand that. Or I'm, you know, I'm not sure about that. Let me come, let's get back with you on that. Although I hate to do that. I'm like you, I want to close it right then, right there, because if I can help you, I can help you, and I can help you Tuesday. But if I know I can't help you, I'm not going to prolong it and say, listen, I'm not the right agency for you, but I know who might be, and I'll make the introductions, but let's not spend a whole lot more. And I won't say it, but I'm not going to waste your time or mine if I'm not the right fit. I mean, there's just no point. But and it's better for them if they can find an agency who will and can do the things that they want for the price that they want or for work that I'm not willing to take on. And that happens. You know, web development's a tricky thing. We don't just go, oh, here you go. There's a lot of work that goes into those things. A lot of thought, you know, there's big processes that go on. And I'll tell people the magic is happening behind the scenes. You don't even know what's going on back there. But if I will ask a question and just sit back and let them work it out, you would be, well, you wouldn't be, but our audience might be going, well, that was interesting. I had no idea this was an objection, or this was something I ought to maybe upskill myself to learn how to do. I mean, you can learn so much by just shutting up and listening to your prospects.
And in the example you gave, Denise, where you turned away business. Sometimes that's the biggest sale of all. You've just become an honest, recognized expert in their mind. You've become the go-to person. I get first look at lots of situations and deals that I wouldn't get except I'm known to hundreds, if not thousands, of clients of, let's ask Ben Gay, or I know who I can ask, or I know who knows, or will tell me who does know. And so I'm making up numbers because I've never kept track of it, but probably a third, a half of all the calls I get are not things I'm going to do that I'm interested in doing, or even that I'm qualified to do. But they run them by me to see if I know somebody I would recommend. And I have a tight, you're on that list. If somebody wants to know, you know, I've got to build a website, I got to get mine in better shape, et cetera. Who do I call or where do I go? And you're the answer to that. So being in the catbird, what I call the catbird seat, gives you a lot of opportunities to see things you wouldn't otherwise see. And it also, you have to do it for a while before this works, but I will tell you one of the advantages of having been in the business a long time, people say, well, how do you get your prospects for mentoring or whatever? And I say, I answer the phone.
Yeah.
And I respond to emails. Well, I mean, in advertising, I haven't run a paid ad for any of my products or services or me in 30 years. I didn't necessarily know what I was doing at the time, but I got myself positioned as a trusted expert, the go-to guy. And that's enough. I don't have time to do any more business than that generates.
And I love what you just said about first look. I had, and this is completely off topic, maybe not. I had a call last night from Mexico, and I didn't recognize the number, and I didn't recognize the, it wasn't OnePlus, and I went, what the heck? So I didn't answer it. I was busy doing something. And then I got a message, an iMessage, and said, Denise, this is, and I won't mention the name because he's quite famous. He said, can I talk to you? Do you have time to talk tonight? And I said, sure. So he called me, and we were talking. This is a man who has, over time, brought us music on our computers, he really crafted how we listen to music these days. And he said, listen, I'm putting together this big thing for college, and they wanted me to come speak to this very high level group, C-suite group, in a college setting in California. Would you mind looking at my presentation? I was honored. Now, is this anything I can help him with at all? No. But I started looking at that presentation last night and I was fascinated. Some of it will stick with me enough to maybe I can make something out of this. You know, just the idea is that first look, there's that infiltration. You never know when an idea is going to just be given to you. So if you're in sales, and Ben and I are, listen and take notes. You don't know what word or what phrase is going to have people trusting you to go, hey, Ben, do you know who can help me with this? Or, hey, Denise, do you mind looking at my presentation? I mean, I was shocked. I said, sure. And then I walked around and went, I'll be darned. So, and I'm delighted to do so. So you just never know what's going to come your way if you are honest. You give, everything you do is honest, and you're helpful, and you're of assistance, and you're not trying to just scoop up the cash wherever you can.
Absolutely. They really appreciate that. And word spreads, and you never know when I get that call from time to time. I always kid about this. For some reason, Dallas comes to my mind, but I literally had a person call me. In fact, I've got to return this phone call, who said, I'm paraphrasing, but it's very similar to what I've kidded about for years. You may not remember me, but 25 years ago in Dallas, you said, or you promised, or whatever. I'm going, 25 years ago? God, I don't remember being in Dallas hundreds of times, but I don't remember that event or whatever. And then I usually kid with them. I say, oh yeah, fourth row, left-hand side, you have a yellow shirt. And usually they'll laugh back, but occasionally they'll say, God, what a memory.
Oh, geez.
But you never know, you're planting seeds, positive or negative, all the time.
We do.
And then make yourself available. My 800 number that I have on my business card, I have two different starting points for two different businesses. But the basic phone number, 530-295-93, excuse me, I'm reading off the wrong line, 530-622-7777 was a number I acquired when I started the National Communication Center in 1976. And the 800 number we used back then for that answering service was 824-7888. And that too is now the same years. Was that 24, 34, 44? Both of them are almost 50 years old. And they haven't changed. So if I handed you my business card 50 years ago, the numbers still work.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I mean, I know when you opened up that center, we've talked about that, but I didn't realize that you'd kept those same two phone numbers. I think we need to make you a world record.
And occasionally we get calls to, you know, most of the companies have moved on, gone out of business, changed their names or what have you. But we had 1,500 corporate clients. So when I left the business and I grabbed the phone numbers, I used to get a lot of calls that wasn't much I could do with, but I want to make sure my calls got through to me.
Right.
This morning, before I was out of bed, my cell phone rang and it was a guy who wanted to buy the closers. And he asked for an operator number that I didn't recognize. He said, well, I got it out of the back of this book. And then I realized he had a 40-year-old copy of one of the closers editions, and he flipped to the back and dialed the only phone number he could find, which was 800-824-7888. Haven't had it in a commercial basis in almost 50 years, and I answered the phone. So when, you know, get known, and then don't be swapping your emails and phone numbers. For some reason, you may need new ones, fine. Keep the old one. Be easy to reach.
Exactly. And you touched on something, and we're going to run out of, well, we've got about 5 or 6 more minutes. You touched on something that I think was so important. I wanted to go back to it. But when you're talking with people and they need to understand how you are there to help them. And, you know, and I don't want to keep, you know, saying, oh, you know, just sit down and shut up. But we do need to sit back and listen. And now I just talked myself out of what I was going to say. Bad, Denise. And it was brilliant. I had something really thoughtful to
say. That's part of the Southern disease that you and I both share.
It was
sister,
important, I promise.
My sister, who's never been out of the South, except on a few trips, remember, she's always lived in the deep South. She'll start telling a story, and then I can tell that reminded her of something, and she'll start telling that one. And then at some point, there's a pause, and she says, where was I going with this? I can't help you, honey.
Well, sitting here, I was hoping you read my mind and you could pull it out of there, but it'll come back. It's gone now that I've tried to, you know, force it. It's like, no, I'm gonna go out in the backyard. I'll talk to you later. But listen, before we, and it was so important too. I can feel it itching in the back of my head. Anyway, what I wanted to ask you too, and it was something about this darn book. Now it's gonna bug me. You can tell. Now I'm gonna be irritated all day long. Okay, so. What I wanted to ask you is about your mentoring program, because we have talked about that a number of times. It's something that you and Dr. Napoleon Hill were going to do, you know, back in the day before he up and died on you. And that's your phrase, not mine. So I'm not let's get that out of the way. But now, and you know, you didn't want to do it. I don't know if you thought it was disrespectful or if it just wasn't the time. But you're back to mentoring and consulting full time. So let's talk about that a bit. Where can people find you?
Well, call me 530-622-7777. Probably more effective is send me an email at B as in Ben, F as in Frank, G as in Gay, 3, the number 3, BFG3 at DirectCon, short for Direct Connect, DirectCon.net, and just put something in there that refers to mentoring. Mentoring dynamics is what we call it. But what I do is I do for a limited group of people, 30, 35 seems to work best at any given time. What Dr. Hill did for me many years ago when he was hired to be my mentor, my friend, and my coach. I was sort of like Rodney Dangerfield, the old comedian. He said he was so ugly as a kid, the family had to tie a pork chop around his neck so the family dog would play with him. Well, I was so inept that William Penn Patrick hired Dr. Hill to be my older, wiser friend and confidant. And he served that purpose for the last 2.5 years of his life. I now do that for other people. I've been down the road. I've had experiences most people only have in dreams and nightmares. I've been down the road, and the old Chinese saying, if you want to know what's farther down the road you're traveling, talk to someone who's coming back up the road again. And that's sort of what Dr. Hill did for me and what I do for other people. There are things that I can hear, and instead of, to them, it's fresh and new, and right or wrong doesn't make any difference, but it's fresh and new because it's the first time they've ever thought of it. I haven't heard a story in a long time that I hadn't heard hundreds of times before, names, dates, and places. And I know why it'll work, why it won't work, why it didn't work in this situation and did in this situation, and so on. And I'm unemotionally involved. You ask me a question, I can give you an answer. Whether you take it or not is none of my concern. I'm not responsible for your financial success or failure. I am responsible for telling you what hundreds, if not thousands of years have proven, because I've become a student of the human development, human potential. We started the modern human potential movement with a company called Leadership Dynamics in the late 60s, Leadership Dynamics Institute, and all the companies you've heard of, LifeSpring, PsyWorld, et cetera, directly or indirectly, are spinoffs of Mind Dynamics. So I've heard things that would make your hair turn white from people who've experienced things you and I have never dreamed of. Descendant and heir to one of the great fortunes in America, I won't mention it because it's very private, but the gentleman who inherited all of that, whose name every listener knows and why they know it, was chained in the basement of the family mansion to a post for the first 11 years of his life. And he shared that experience for the first time in his life in a class. And we spent an entire day questioning and trying to understand what he went through. More importantly, how he survived the experience and went on to become successful in his own right. So I've got that type of story. I've sat in Charlie Manson's cell for 9 hours. I've coached the astronauts of Apollo 15, 16, and 17, and the ground crews. So I've had some experiences that if I pass them on to you, will cut off 15, 20, 25 years of learning from your learning curve.
Exactly.
And that's my mentoring dynamics program. So reach out to me if you're interested. There's no cost or obligation. There's cost if you go forward, but there's no cost or obligation to ask.
And thank you for sharing that. I mean, I knew about Charlie Manson. You're going to have to tell me who that person was. Now I need to know. But what I started to, I had a recovery. I remember what I was going to say. But you had mentioned in the very beginning, you know, people say, well, this is old-fashioned selling. It's not. Listen, I don't think as human beings, we have changed all that much. We want to trust. We want to be trusted. We want to be treated fairly. Has the internet changed how we present a lot of this stuff? Oh, you bet. Listen, as a nerd, I'm a nerd in stilettos. I am always studying. I'm always upskilling. I'm always learning new ways. But the truth of it is, you, if your core values are not there, you can clean it up with Chat GPT and make it sound pretty. It's still not going to sell. It just isn't. So we can talk about that the next time. But anyway, I wanted to and thank you, Ben, for mentioning my web development. I've got room for three. I've decided I'll do one a month or three in 3 months, whatever it takes, and help three people start 2024 off with a big bang. Because listen, we're at the end of the year. Can you believe it's October? I'm shocked. It's October. I really am. But before we say goodbye, Ben has told you where to find him. You can find me toll free, 888-719-6711. Both of us are all over LinkedIn. We're on Facebook. I'm on Twitter and other platforms. And you can find my email address is support@yourofficeontheweb.com. So just get in touch with me. And honestly, if I can't help you, I will point you to somebody who probably can. So thank you, Ben. What do you want to talk about next week?
Well, figuring you might ask that, I was flipping through the closers part two moments ago, and I'd like to do it starts on page 89, Get Stupid. A
Well, I
friend
can do
of
that. Page 89.
mine was with me when I was writing that. His name is Merle Fraser, and I always write the title first and the
Yes.
last word in a book, a chapter, whatever, the last sentence first. And when he saw that I had written Get Stupid to start with, he said, "Oh, this is going to be an easy one for you." I said, "Thank you, Merle. I appreciate
If you didn't have friends, you wouldn't have anybody
that." Right.
at all. Well,
So
we are
page 89, Get
89
Stupid.
on part two. All right, got it. So listen, everybody, we will be back next week, and thank you for listening to us. If you have any questions, we've given you our phone numbers and you can find us. Seriously, you can't throw a stick on the internet without hitting your partner in Success Radio. And we love to answer questions. If you've got questions about sales or marketing, or I don't know, Ben Gay, he's got stories. Ask us questions, and we will see you next week. Ben, thank you. And I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Thank you, Denise, and pardon my what I consider mild coughing compared to what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks. I
I bet.
appreciate your patience.
Well, I was worried about you. Tell Gigi hi for me.
I shall have a wonderful day.
You too.